You always wait for me to say something. You never have anything.
Well, because anytime I try to say something, you yell at me.
Because you always say something stupid. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 12th. 2010. Yeah, second down. I said 2010. What are you going to do about it? This is Mike Minotti.
I call you wrong.
Quiet you. Joined by my brother AJ. Say hi, AJ.
I'm back.
Oh, I forgot you were gone.
Yeah, I know.
Ouch.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry. Welcome back. Whoa.
Thank
hey.
You.
And we're also joined by our good friend David Nguyen. Say hi, Dave.
Hello.
See, AJ, we got along just fine without you.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So here we are today. We got a big show. Jeez, we got GDC and NPDs, and I think those are the only
BYOBs.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
So yeah, we got a lot of news. Other TLAs.
Lots of news. So we'll talk about that first. Then we got the quiz. Then we got a little Let's Go Topical. Then our Week of Gaming, in which I think one of our original segments will be coming back, AJ.
Oh, man. Did I have to get that music back out?
Yes, you do. Anyways, our original listeners will remember that on the infancy of the podcast, I was going through my Final Fantasy marathon. So every week we had this segment where I talked about it. What was the name of this segment?
Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy.
Wasn't very cleverly named, was it?
No, but it was our first feature segment.
I guess so. But yeah, we had best ever. Okay, anyways, let's not bore people with our history.
I just got to dig out that music now.
Yeah, well, you'll find it. All right, so yeah, we'll talk about our weekend gaming, then we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's hear the news. I'm interested to see what you lead off with. You always
NPDs.
Lead off with NPDs, right? Yeah, you got
it. Of course. So the hardware got a little crazy this month. I don't know. First, we have the Nintendo DS, of course, on top with 613,000. Then it's the Xbox 360 at 422,000. Followed by the Wii at 397,900, the PS3 at 360,100, PSP at 133,400, and PS2 at 101,900.
Bizarre.
How did the 360 beat the Wii this month?
I don't know. There was no... There wasn't a big exclusive, right?
I don't think so.
BioShock 2 came out on the PS3.
Didn't Mass Effect 2 only have, like, 4 days on 360 last month?
Maybe
that's the ripple of that, I guess.
Maybe.
But that came out last month.
Yeah, but it only came out four days of last month.
As much as I love Mass Effect 2, I'm not going to give...
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just throwing out...
Yeah, I know. Just, yeah,
that's the only theory I can think of.
I think... Well, why don't you do the software real quick, AJ?
Okay.
Talk about this.
Well, we have BioShock 2 and the 360 at number 1 with 562,900.
See, that's why there was a BioShock 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's why we needed one.
There was New Super Mario Bros. Wii way behind it with 555,600. Modern Warfare 2 and the 360 at 314,000. Just Dance on the Wii. By Ubisoft.
Just
right.
5,000. Yeah, I know. Wii Sports Resort with the Wii Motion Plus, 272.5. Modern Warfare 2 and PS3 at 252.8. Mass Effect 2 at 246.5. Dante's Inferno Divine Edition on the PS3, which I think was the only edition, is 242,000. Then the 360 version of Dante at 224.7. And Heavy Rain at number 10 with 219.3.
Some people were saying that they were surprised Dante's Inferno listed. They marketed the hell out of that.
Mm-hmm. They gave it a Super Bowl
listed.
Commercial.
Right.
I'm actually surprised it didn't do better.
It's.
I was expecting like 400,000.
Well, maybe. Combined, it's kind of there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Heavy Rain. I think that's pretty good for Heavy Rain, considering what it actually is.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
BioShock 2, obviously, you know, big debut. Like, there's nothing here that justifies... The only thing I can think of is just the lack of a big new release for the Wii to kind of help bring the system sales up, but that's always been a problem with them. They've always been just fine selling the same... Is Mario Kart
going
to stop selling? Is that the problem?
Maybe.
I think it's also a lull after the holidays. and they don't have a big game to support them with that, so naturally they're going to see a bit of a sink.
Right. But it's
weird. I can't tell if they sunk or the 360 went up. I'm more inclined to say the 360's up.
Yeah.
Well, though the PS3's not far behind the Wii this month, though. We had to be down a little bit if the PS3 is almost catching up with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how the PS3 is going to do for the month of March with all the big games coming out for it.
Well, like, oh yeah, well, God, yeah, that next month should be, if PS3 is going to have a month on top, it's going to be March.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, Final Fantasy, yeah, not an exclusive per se, but eh.
It's still the, yeah, and it's also just the better game on PS3, just from what I can tell.
No one's expecting the 360 version to outsell the PS3 version, are they?
No.
No. Although I do think that bundle is pretty smart.
Yeah, the bundle, yeah, is a good idea.
Yeah.
And the commercials, when you see the commercials, it makes it look like it's an Xbox 360 game.
Yeah, but, although the commercial is not, in my opinion, doing it any great favors.
No, not really. I would agree. But, I don't know, weird numbers. It's I can't really make anything out of it yet. But, I don't know. We'll see where this trends to anything in the long run. What's next? Let's what's here?
All right, we have shocking confirmation of Portal 2.
Woo!
It's on the cover of Game Informer. We know that there will be, in addition to the single-player campaign, a completely separate co-op campaign. And in the little slug on the side of the page for it, it says platforms. It said 360, PC, and Mac, which leads to our next story. Steam on Mac is official.
It didn't give me a chance to talk about Portal, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good. Talk about what you talked about last week. Good. Talk about it.
Well, it wasn't confirmed. I got that Game Informer in.
Okay.
So I read the story. Okay. What are you condescending me for? No, I have legitimate points I want to bring up about Portal.
Okay. Have fun. Go ahead.
Screw you.
Mike.
What?
Portal. 2.
It's interesting that. Well, you heard that it takes place hundreds of years after the first one, right?
Hundreds?
Yeah, I had not heard that.
Yeah, it does.
No, I didn't get the article yet.
Yeah,
I saw a bunch of people speculating that it took place shortly after because the whole dragging you back into the Aperture Science.
They drag you back, but they put you in stasis apparently for a couple hundred years. Which it's just interesting to me because it seems like they're really kind of separating it from the Half-Life mythos a bit more.
Yeah. I think they wanted to just have vague ties.
Right. Like, I think they kind of want Portal to kind of stand on its own a little bit.
Or does this put it in line with the Half-Life mythos?
Well, that'd be great. Is Gorman Freeman going to pop up in the future, too?
Yeah, he's going to be the old version of him.
Wait, do you know what year Half-Life 2 is set in?
I'm sure somebody does. I'm sure it's confirmed that Portal and Half-Life 2 take place around the same time.
I don't know that. You don't know that.
I bet someone does. Anyways, the article had a couple of Gladys's quotes from the game. They were hilarious. I was laughing. It looks very good. I'm very excited to see what a full-blown Portal game would be like. Is it coming out on PS3?
No. 360, PC, and Mac.
I still don't really...
They kind of gave up on that.
But I don't quite get that still. I don't quite get why they hate the PS3 so much.
All I can remember is them saying it was a bitch to program for.
Right.
But I don't know.
Less talented studios seem to be okay with it, and, you know, they're Valve.
Well, it's because they have this technology from 2004 that they've been building, and it's getting that onto the PS3. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess everything's still kind of running on the Source engine, technically, huh?
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Interesting. Okay, I'm done with Portal 2 now.
Okay, so anyway, Steam for Mac, that's also official now. So it's going to launch sometime next month. Valve is porting all of the Source Engine games to the Mac platform. There's no emulation or anything like that. It's all natively ported. They're also introducing what they call Steam Play, which, as I was hoping, it means that if you own the game on one platform, you own it on the other. So far, this is the case with all of the Valve games. It remains to be seen what other publishers will jump on board with this. I would hope all of them. Like, I know Telltale has their games on there. Hopefully they'll work. It'd be nice to see Dragon Age up there, Spore, Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll just wait and see what happens when this launches. And the other cool thing, too, is it's very platform agnostic. Even like there's cross-platform multiplayer. Like people playing TF2 on the Mac could play with TF2 players on PC. It's just computer gaming.
Yeah, that's
like that's
cool.
The easiest way to think of it. It's just computer gaming. They're also going to be leveraging the Steam Cloud for all the games too, so that like you know the save files are completely portable. So you could be like playing Torchlight if this comes to Mac. Let's say you could play Torchlight on your MacBook Pro at work, get home, and then continue playing on your gaming PC. Right where you left off.
Really?
So I'm super stoked about all this. I think it's awesome. I just, like I said, I just really hope the third party, I mean, Valve is a third party too, I guess, but everyone else jumps on board with the whole Steam Play idea and gets there, if they have a Mac game, get it on there and maybe consider doing Mac versions of games. Like, this might finally open up the door to people treating the Mac like a first-class platform.
Let's not get too excited.
If that market's there.
Yeah, we'll I don't know. We'll
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen instantly. I'm just saying open the door, finally. Like, we might see this become a trend now.
Taken seriously as a gaming machine for the first time in about 14 years.
Right, exactly. So we'll move on from there to some Sonic 4 information. So we know that the game's going to have Chaos Emeralds, special stages, and Return of Super Sonic.
Crack, that's some real crack reporting there, Edge Guy. Good job.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
I was wondering what this might be.
I was just excited to see that, like, if you don't beat the game with all the Chaos Emeralds, the end screen's like Robotnik taunting you with the Emeralds, and it just says, try again.
This just in, boy, Sonic 4 will have Chaos Emeralds. Stop the presses. We have to sneak this into the issue. Damn it, we don't have time for that. Damn it, the story must run.
Well, that's why you stick it in a side box in a feature that's completely unrelated. Like Portal 2.
I'm going to move on now. Walter Day has retired from Twin Galaxies. He was the official referee.
Oh, the referee guy from King of Kong?
Yes.
Do you know what Steve Wiebe's favorite video game is?
Mike Minotti.
That's right.
We have video evidence of that.
Yeah.
When are we getting a GDC? What the heck?
What's that?
When are we getting...
It's at the end. The Ubisoft DRM servers reportedly down at first apparently have been under attack for like a week straight. Ubi's trying to downplay its impact on people being able to play the games, but from all the reports, people can't play the games.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
By all the reports, well, what they're saying is that it's only affecting 5% of the gamers, right?
That's Ubi's saying, but like all the other news outlets are making it sound like they're trying to downplay it.
They also claimed that it hadn't been hacked in about 25 hours.
Which apparently it was.
I don't know why they would release a patch for the game even if it had, or since it hadn't been hacked.
Right.
But
I don't know. I don't really know what to think of it. I mean, just because I know everyone was kind of... I'm not defending the DRM, but I know everybody was kind of sitting around the computers waiting for the DRM to fail.
Well, it did. It didn't take long.
Well, yeah, supposedly.
Then we have some good news for people who have Final Fantasy 13 on the PS3. You're going to get a secret in-game item in Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, that's right. I have to put that code in.
Yeah, me too.
How exciting.
Shut up,
then we have Then we have confirmation of Rock Band 3 for this holiday.
Whoop-de-doo.
And yeah. We have the final Super Street Fighter 4 character revealed. His name is Haken, or Haken, I'm not sure. He begins each match by pouring a big jug of oil onto himself.
Pretty weird.
From what I understand, his ultra combo is he kind of poops you out or something.
What?
I don't know.
I only saw a couple screenshots.
Yeah.
I kind of need to see that now.
But that does complete the roster, so now we know all the characters.
Like out
at least we got Dudley out of this.
I don't know. That's what someone wrote in, like, Kotaku or something. I didn't see a video. There's just screenshots. I didn't see anything that looked like pooping.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about GDC.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, what's your lead story?
On live?
Did you hear me smack my hand against my face?
Your hand hitting your forehead? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a deliberate choice on my part. Anyway, On Live is launching June 17th for the low price of $15 a month, which I call bullshit on.
But don't you still have to buy the games?
Yeah. $15 a month gets you access to the service. That's like paying $15 a month to use Steam.
Yeah, so, ha. Huh.
And they're trying to say, like, you know, it does include all the community things and blah, blah, blah. Okay, follow the Microsoft
but
model.
Think of all the money you're saving on video cards.
Yeah.
They're doing that computing on the clouds
that's
now.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, $50 a year, just like Xbox Live, sure. $15 a month, I think, is too much for that.
Yeah, I think at a year's point, you could have bought a nice video card.
That's just, yeah, that's just it. I mean, what's 15 times 12?
I don't know. But look, here's what happens when your technology sounds too good to be true. It's probably expensive as shit.
Yeah, now for that
now
price,
you're paying for it.
That's $180 a year. I mean, at that price, it better fucking work. That's all I can
well, that's
say.
The problem. I tell you what, it's going to be expensive and not work.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe that's
say,
a vote of confidence on their part.
Right. See, now you're on board the my anti-on live train.
Yeah. Well,
choo-choo,
I'm not,
train's leaving
not,
the station, Edge guy.
I'm not so much against the technology. I'm just against the business model of it. That's horrible.
Mm.
They're saying that the first 25,000 people to sign up get the first 3 months for free.
Well,
anyway, there's that. That's
nice, since this whole service will probably last about that long.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so let's go on to what you probably thought was going to be the opening story. The PlayStation Move.
God damn it.
Which is the finally revealed name.
No, this is not what I wanted the lead story to be.
I know. It is the finally revealed name of the PlayStation Motion Controller.
All right.
Woo! It's pretty much everything they said was going to be at E3. It just has a name now.
What was the game they showed? It was like something sports something.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
It was like...
Whatever.
Might as well be called PlayStation Sports.
Yeah, but it does have 4 face buttons on it, and then a trigger, and then there's the cleverly named Sub Controller, which has a D-pad, analog stick, and 2 buttons, along with 2 triggers.
You mean the nunchuck?
No, no.
It's not
definitely,
a nunchuck.
It's definitely
because
not
it's
a nunchuck.
It's wireless and doesn't have any gyro sensors in it.
Definitely not a nunchuck.
I don't believe either of you.
They haven't announced specific pricing on it, but there will be some sort of bundle that has a Move, a PSI, which is required for it, and a game for under $100. If you already have a PSI, they'll have something that's just a Move in the game, and they'll be selling just Moves. And they'll also be selling a PS3 bundle that has a Move and a PSI in it. So you'll be able to get one of these.
Whenever you say PSI, I get confused. I think you're thinking you're talking about like the DSI.
No,
right.
They announced a bunch of games that use it. SOCOM 4 is going to be using it.
How goody!
They've got their little sport game mini game collection thing. There was they showed Little Big Planet using the controls. iPet is going to use it when it comes out in North America. There's some kind of like fighting game that looked okay.
I think it's called like Fighter right now. I think it's called the PlayStation Move fighting game.
That's the thing. Like, aside from like SOCOM 4, none of these are
real games.
$50 games.
They're tech demos.
Yeah.
Proof of concept.
I mean, that's what's gonna make this thing work is the games. And right now, aside from SOCOM, not there yet.
Well, look, I don't think I'm gonna hazard a guess and say that SOCOM was not specifically built for the PlayStation Move.
No, I agree.
Look, we have this technology. It's not that much fun now, right?
Yeah.
Like, how long has the Wii Motion Plus been out, and how many compelling experiences have we had with that yet?
Nothing's happened yet. I don't think has there been a single Wii Motion Plus game since Wii Sports Resort?
Well, there's the Tiger Woods game.
That came out before.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's been like one.
I mean, there's gonna be like Red Steel 2, and like that's it.
Yeah, Zelda Wii will.
Yeah.
But that's still only like 5 games in total.
I know. I don't get that at all, but oh well. To the next big story. Might and Magic Clash of Heroes HD is coming to Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of people told me it was really, really good. So
it's phenomenal on the DS, and it looks great in HD, so that's cool.
Who got you that DS version?
You did, thank you.
You're welcome.
Then we go on to the big announcement from Instant Action. They are revealing a new technology that allows you to embed a full game into a website, much like embedding a YouTube video.
What kind of full game?
They demonstrated Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, and they also had Assassin's Creed running in a browser.
Oh, this is trouble.
That's bizarre.
Why do you say it's trouble?
I imagine you don't have to pay to access these.
No, you do. You have to have, like, your Instant Action account. You can play for free for, like... X amount of time or whatever.
Okay, then why do you need to play it in a browser?
Because, like, the idea is...
Because me when I was 7, stuck with a Genesis and a crap computer, so you have the internet, though.
Well, imagine, like...
Is this more of that let's get around people having crappy computers thing?
No. It's not even that. I mean, well, there's two ways for it to work. It will either very quickly download the game and, like, just download the parts it needs and keep downloading everything else in the background. And they are partnering with Gaikai, which is Steve Perry's company that's kind of like the competition on Live. And even then, they said what that would probably be used for is to, like, let you start streaming it while it downloads in the background. And once the download's done, switch over. But, like, what they're saying this is going to be useful for is kind of just that viral marketing of games, where just, like, the same way a YouTube video gets big because people, like, embed it in blogs and Tumblrs and websites and everything. Just like this. Like, you could be writing a, like, let's say a blog post on Bitmob about Assassin's Creed, and just in the article is the game itself for people to play right then and there, you know, the first 20 minutes for free, and then they can buy it. And you can either just outright buy a game, or you can do kind of like a rent-to-own thing where you could, like, buy credits until you get to the full price of the game and not going over it. I think it's an interesting concept. I don't know how practical it ultimately is, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, no. Not doing it for me.
Okay.
Not feeling this one.
Then we have a quick announcement. Unreal Engine 3 is including Steamworks into it now, which is nice.
Yeah, great.
We have Rock Band Green Day releasing
June 8th. Green Day Rock Band.
Excuse me.
Get it right or pay the price.
You are correct. Green Day Rock Band releasing June 8th. It does have harmonies.
Oh, I'd hope so. I hope it doesn't have less features than the last one.
And unless I'm forgetting something, Mike, I think that's going to do it for GDC.
All right, then. Let's do the quiz.
Yeah, Mike. you forgot yourself.
Oh, yeah, like I forgot, AJ. I know what you're talking about. God.
Monkey Island 2, Chuck's Revenge Special Edition was announced.
Yep.
I'm super excited.
Yes, that's good. It looks great. Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm glad this happened. It should have happened. Here it is.
Do you think they'll do a Curse of Monkey Island Special Edition?
Well, that's one of our Let's Go Topicals, so let's not talk about that right now.
Well, okay. Before we go to quizzing and Let's Go
Topical, I'm not done with Monkey Island.
Okay, fine.
Are you about to talk about Monkey Island or what?
Yeah, I was.
Well, then go ahead. Okay. I thought you were going to bring something else up. I never know. Sometimes people like to bombast me with news that they deem important that they think I forgot accidentally.
No.
But I didn't.
Well.
Yeah. Anyways, Dave, please, what did you want to say?
So I played a Monkey Island game for the first time early last year whenever I downloaded Monkey Island Special Edition. And I'm probably going to download this, and I'm really glad to see that they're making these kind of games available, because a lot of older PC games are just impossible to play now.
Yeah.
But one thing that bugs me is that I really like Steve Purcell's art for the old Monkey Island games. Like, if you look at all his rough concept sketches, mm-hmm. and then a lot of his art for the Sam and Max games, I'm not so big on the redone artist guy, who apparently deals only with airbrushes.
Well, it's the nice thing is that you can always push that button, just play the classic.
Yeah, and I did do that a bit.
Right. Like, I can imagine, like, I'd like to play through these special editions at least once, but I imagine on repeat times, I'd probably just go back to the old. And
one thing that the first special edition was missing, I hope they put in the second one, is they didn't have the option to have the original graphics, but with the voices.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and mostly that doesn't bother me, David, but where it does is, like, the cover art, whenever they redo that, that never looks right to me. Like, the new version of that classic Monkey Island 2 cover art they have there, it's like, okay.
And the guy versus face looks stupid.
Yeah. Steve Purcell's is, like, very kind of, I don't know, it looks like a movie poster. It's kind of that semi-realistic thing.
Yeah, it has a lot of charm to it. A lot of personality.
Right.
Same with a lot of, like, his Sam and Max designs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should mention, too, actually, that they did announce at the same event that the first Monkey Island Special Edition is coming to Mac and PS3.
Yeah.
And then this one's going to come out to everything. Xbox, PS3, PC, Mac, iPhone.
It's interesting to see. I was really wondering how Monkey Island 2 Guybrush was going to look, and they kind of kept the whole, like, trying to kind of throw in that Monkey Island 3 look into it for him.
Yeah, I think it looks great. Like, the character designs look mm-hmm. awesome. Largo LeGrand looks really good, I think.
Right. No, I'm definitely very excited, and it's cool that a lot of people get to play this game. As good as Monkey Island 1 is, this game, yeah, this is probably the best adventure game not named Grim Fandango. So,
I thought people usually regarded Curse as the best one.
Actually, no.
There's some debate.
I like Curse a lot, but at least back from what I remember when I was 12 and in the highly active LucasArts community. Yeah, Scumbar and all that stuff. Most people seem to think that Monkey Island 2 was the kind of magnum opus. Is that a word?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Are we good then, guys?
Yeah.
All right. I'm very excited for Monkey Island 2. I'm assuming this will be Summer Arcade, right? Probably.
Maybe.
They didn't announce it for summer, so yeah, probably.
All right. Okay. Here's the quiz. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
First question. What game developer was founded in Bethesda, Maryland?
Huh. I don't know. Maybe Bethesda?
Bethesda?
Correct.
Okay.
Question two. What was Bethesda's first game?
I'm going to say it's Arena.
Is it the Elder Scrolls Arena?
It might be. Either that or... I mean, that's the earliest one I can think of.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Gridiron! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
I've
heard of that.
This came out in 1986. So they were busy sometime before Arena, actually. Speaking of which, Bethesda made an NES game based on what famous family comedy?
Huh?
Wow. family comedy
Home Alone
movie.
Would be my guess.
I can't. My mind is blanking on family comedy movies. Home Alone.
Home Alone. Good job.
Whoa,
seriously?
What the heck?
Yeah.
That game was terrible.
Well, guess who made it?
From such shitty beginnings.
Yeah, who knew?
All right. Well, that's two so far. Question four. What year was Elder Scrolls Arena released?
1993, maybe?
Yeah, I'll put this on you. We'll say 93.
Correct.
Yeah, nicely done.
Two more right answers. You guys could actually pass this one.
All right.
Of course, that first one was a gimme, but... Question five.
I know Jack about Bethesda, so...
Name the first expansion pack for Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind.
Oh, Shit. It's either Tribunal or Blood Moon. Which one was first?
Say Tribunal.
Yeah, that one.
Correct.
Yes!
All right. Name the second bonus question.
Blood Moon?
Correct. You win! How about that? You
actually won
that.
Good job, guys. Good job, David.
Yeah, I helped out with my guessing, because I know jack shit about Bethesda outside of their
Yeah, right. You knew exactly what year Arena came out. That was no guesser. AJ always guesses he was wrong by one.
I know. That's why I went with his, because I was like, well, I'm probably off by one, so...
He's just living in the future.
Yeah.
Let's go topical, guys.
Okay.
Ready? All right. AJ, I'll start with you. The 360 triumph over the Wii this week is a sign of things to come.
No. Just a nice little spot of luck for Microsoft. I really don't see the Wii losing any major battles for the coming months here. I will say that maybe Nintendo does need to start stepping up their game, come by, the holiday, which they seem to be doing once, we have a new Mario and a new Metroid. I think they're fine.
Zelda.
How about you, David?
Ditto. Hopefully Zelda will be there by holiday, and that'll give him a boost.
If Zelda... I kind of expect Zelda by holiday, too, but if it does, that would be the shortest turnaround from announcement to game release in Zelda history by far.
That's true, but they also have... I'm going to assume that they're not wildly revamping the Twilight Princess engine.
True, yeah.
And that probably took a lot of their development time for that. It's kind of like Final Fantasy XIII. They didn't spend the entire God knows how long on game design. They spent a lot of that time just developing crystal tools.
I imagine most of that time was spent developing crystal tools.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope.
When was
the result is that they don't look like they're all wearing hairnets. So
was it 2005 where we saw that first Final Fantasy XIII trailer?
Yeah, I want to say. Yeah, that was that disastrous PS3 E3.
Right. Think about that. That's crazy. 5 years from trailer to game coming out. Wow.
And yeah, that's right, because it came out before that trailer came out, before Final Fantasy XII came out.
And, right.
I was baffled by that.
That's right. Well, they have a history of doing that.
Well, now
remember they announced 9, 10, and 11 on the same day?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's why no one gave a shit about 9, sadly. Alright, next one. Start with David this time. The Curse of Mukyan will inevitably get a special edition.
I don't know. That one would be harder to do since it already... I mean, I don't want to give the impression that I've played it, but I've seen a lot of it, and I mean, it looks pretty damn good as it is. I think you could probably put it on console and modern PCs, and people would be accepting of it. Looks fine. Maybe... Yeah, I can't think of anything other than maybe up-res it.
AJ?
Yeah, I don't think it's inevitable. It'd be nice. Yeah, if they do it, I don't want them to change the style. I just like to see everything kind of get HD-ified and widescreen. But, I mean, that game still looks really damn good.
All right. AJ, Final Fantasy XIII's Metacritic score is justified.
What is its Metacritic right now?
Like an 82.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I'll get in more into it, I guess, when we talk about it. But, yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. Again, this is one of those games, part of why its Metacritic is going to sit around there, people will be giving this 10s, and people will be giving this game 5s. It's a very love-it-or-hate-it kind of game, I think.
Okay. I don't get the 5s. And yeah, we're not talking about... Okay, we're not talking about other things. The 5s...
I don't think it deserves... I mean, if I personally, based on the roughly 3 hours of it I've played... I'm kind of sitting around an 8.
You haven't even done have you even done the paradigm shifts?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when it started getting good.
Yeah, that's about the time it starts. Like, I think, especially... I've never actually really gave a crap about Edge's reviews, even when they were called Next Generation. But, yeah, their features are pretty much what I read that magazine for. And when they review anything, it's just always a head-scratcher, especially if it's a popular game. Like, I don't get why GTA 4 is a 10 in their magazine, and all these other various weird-ass games are 10s, and then suddenly Final Fantasy 13, which I think is a very competent and then increasingly good game after you get paradigm shifts, is a 5.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a sensationalist thing to this whole game being the lowest review on Metacritic. I don't know if that's something I make up, or because it sounds a little...
I think
conspiracy theorist, but
I think it's also just kind of a backlash against JRPGs that's been happening over the last 4 years, especially. It's
there's a good
point
question.
Where it's almost itself parody.
Is Final Fantasy XIII's score, is that more indicative of the game itself or of that backlash that we've kind of, you know, we can all agree that there's kind of been a backlash to that genre, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's, I don't want to say, like, the entire damn thing is that. But I do think there's a slight element to that. I also think it's just indicative of... I think there are more people with more variety of taste reviewing games now, and people who are not necessarily, like, gigantic Final Fantasy fanboys are not always the reviewers nowadays.
Mm-hmm. It's you know, there was a time where just any, you know, if it was a Final Fantasy game, or if it was a Zelda game, you know, whatever.
You were probably going to assume it would get A's, 10s, 100s, whatever.
Right, just think of, I think I said before this, just remembering the shitstorm that GameSpot got when it gave Twilight Princess an 88.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa.
I'm so glad I avoided all those threads on the internet.
Right. And, you know, now, you know, this happened, and, you know, people don't seem as surprised anymore. Sort of is what it is. Although I will say it kind of, you know, this puts Final Fantasy XIII's Metacritic close to, like, Lost Odyssey and stuff like that.
It's definitely better than Lost Odyssey.
Right. Actually, I wonder what exactly Lost Odyssey is at. One second.
That'll be kind of funny as hell if it's higher.
Yeah.
We're probably around the 70s.
It'd be pretty hilarious, actually.
How do you spell Odyssey?
O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y.
Y-S-S-E-Y.
Compelling radio here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lost Odyssey is at a 78. Final Fantasy XIII is at an 82. Which, you know, I don't know. It's bizarre. But, yeah,
You have to also take into account that Metacritic takes in a bunch of stupid-ass fan sites.
Yeah, I don't... I can say I don't recognize... Nonsense. I don't recognize
half
most
the
of
names
these sites.
On
yeah, not, half would be generous. Hmm. Anyways, we'll talk about Final Fantasy XIII and our individual feelings on it later. We're starting with David this time. You will buy PlayStation Move.
Probably not. Maybe if they get some really compelling software, if they pull that out of their ass, I will probably buy a PlayStation Move. Until then, I stand by my Sega CD comments. It's just a bunch of half-baked stuff so they can say that it is more casual-friendly, in the same way that Sega can now say they had a CD system in the 16-bit generation.
AJ.
It'll depend if the price is right and what games there are. I mean, I already have a PlayStation Eye, so I'm like halfway there, I guess.
I forgot you have a PlayStation Eye. Can I answer this for you? Yes, you will buy a PlayStation Move.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You will. We both.
I do kind of like the PlayStation Eye.
I have to report on it, Mike, please.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very professional.
AJ.
Yes.
Fable 3 will be a Game of the Year candidate.
No, I'm getting sick of this. Okay, Molyneux bitches and complains about how the last game was too complex and people didn't get to use all the features because they couldn't understand it, even though it was all in pretty simple to read menus. And all this stupid shit he's talking about for this with the hugging and the touching and the Twitter followers, it just sounds more complicated and also stupid. And now he's saying, too, how he's making it less of an RPG and more of an action game because that's more mainstream. And one of the problems with making an RPG is you're only making a game for gamers. And I'm like, well, yeah, asshole. That's who buys your games. Right? My mom is not going to play Fable 3 no matter what you do. I promise you, no matter what he does to that game, people playing Wii Sports Resort are never going to play Fable 3 for the simple fact that it's a game where you run around with a sword chopping up people. I don't care what you do.
Doesn't it seem like at times everything gets lumped into hardcore gamers, like people who, you know, played Persona 4? Not there's anything wrong with Persona 4, but you know what? There's people who, it's like there's those people, and then there's people who played Farmville and Wii Bowling. And like to some people, that's it.
But then the thing is, what's really pissing me off is how the former group, the quote-unquote Persona 4 group, it's all of a sudden taboo. Like, we don't want to make games for them.
Yeah.
No, we're the idiots who've been paying you for the last 25 years. You should be making games for us. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't be making games if we weren't buying them.
All right, let's get David in there.
Yeah, it's also a bitch to appeal to that casual crowd because they have, like, such weird taste. They also only want a game that costs a dollar or less.
Anyway. What is his goal? Because Fable 2 did pretty well, but he's still disappointed. What is he? Because if what exactly is he saying? What like?
Oh, here's the thing too. He said Fable 2 sold 3.5 million. Fable 3 needs to sell 5.
Well,
yeah, fucking right.
That's my catchphrase.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. It's borrowing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fable 3 will not sell more than Fable 2. No way. There's not been that much of a. Even
you could put
window.
John Cleese as the butler in it all you want.
Yeah.
Gonna do it.
Oh, I have to admit, John Cleese as the butler got me more excited than anything else
that's
they announced.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. I mean, I'll play the game and I'll probably, you know, enjoy it. But like I said, you know, no casual gamer is going to be buying and playing Fable 3.
And we were saying that about Fable 2. I remember you saying the same exact thing. He was doing the same exact song and dance about how Fable 2 is going to be more, you know, mainstream and whatnot and...
Yeah, like, I don't know what he wants.
And it actually was. I don't understand how he's going to make it more simple than Fable 2, because Fable 2 is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what features are you talking about that people didn't do? Did they not buy real estate or play the pub games? Is that what he's upset about?
I guess so. He had some slide at GDC that said, like, more than 60% of the players use less than 60 or 50% of the features.
I would like to present this possibility to Peter Molyneux. They chose not to.
Yeah, it's not like they necessitated any of that crap.
Right, it's not like they didn't understand it.
You know why they didn't need to? Because you made the game too easy.
Right.
You really could have played the game with like a very basic sword. It's not like you needed good loot in that game.
Right.
It's too easy.
Yep.
All right. Enough Fable 3 bashing. Here's our...
Also, before we do the next one, Twitter integration is stupid and I hate it.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Go ahead.
It didn't even add anything to Uncharted 2, and that's Uncharted
2.
Did. I'm going to start with David. Cannibalts. We all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Cannonball's popularity is justified.
I guess in the same way that, like, I don't know, Bejeweled Blitz's popularity is justified. It's easy, it's cheap, it's free, and it's, you know, it's fun.
Well, it's $3 on the iPhone, right?
Yeah, but I don't play iPhone games, so...
But there you go. You're a smart man.
Mm-hmm. I also don't like to spend money on things that I know are free. Unless I'm feeling really magnanimous and want to help the developer out. But, yeah. I mean, I guess it's justified. It's not like it costed anyone or anything, so...
AJ.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it is. And, like, the thing is now it's attracting a lot of imitators, which is kind of, diluting the original game. Like, you know, Cartoon Network has something with a robotic unicorn that doesn't... You put that game up...
Oh, I saw that game. I saw that unicorn game. That was pretty great.
There's going to be Bit Trip Runner, which, you know, does look cool. And, yeah, this is now the new hotness, is quick games where you just run automatically, hit the jump button.
Actually, did you ever play Dino Run?
Nah.
Because that came out just a bit before that, about a year before Cannonball.
Oh, really?
And it's basically, it's very similar. You play as a little velociraptor who's trying to slurp up mammals as he runs from meteors.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Anyway,
like, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, like, you know... Saying it isn't justified is like saying Mario isn't justified because then a whole bunch of other platformers came out that did close to the same thing.
Okay, so Cannonball's a trailblazer.
I guess
that's a bit of an extreme word. I just think it was a good idea for what they were trying to accomplish.
Here's my thing. I think I've seen in the last couple months about 24 editorials on Cannonball. The first time I saw Cannonball. This is before I heard anything about it. I played it for a couple minutes. I thought that was neat. Then it kind of exploded. I'm a little confused.
That's all they were going for. They weren't trying to make some big
phenomenon. I'm not, you know, mad at them for their success. I'm not unhappy for them.
Okay.
I'm just a little confused.
You understand
over
everyone's
the
fanaticism. About
I don't
it.
Understand the fuss.
Okay.
Is this you jump over things? Right?
Yes.
Yes.
I played this
or
game.
Cross.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer about it, but...
Well, and you know what, one other thing, too, when we're talking about Twitter integration, this game did use Twitter well, because it was kind of like the Geometry War 2 effect, where it posted your high score to Twitter, and that's how you kind of competed with your friends.
See,
it works better for, like, arcade games than, like, a single player. Oh, I just got to my first Crystarium in FF13. I don't care.
See, I've been very kind of anti this whole, these great simple games are awesome again. We just need that. Like, you know, everyone freaked out about Farmville and, you know, Plants vs. Zombie Game of the Year, that kind of thing. That, I don't know. The whole pop cap games revolution, I'm not on board with that at all.
Yeah.
I don't like saying that Bejeweled was one of the best games ever because it's freaking Bejeweled. You know? I don't know.
Wait,
I still
who said Bejeweled was the best game ever?
I think a lot of people really like Bejeweled.
They can go to hell. It's such a ripoff of every other puzzle game ever made. Whatever.
All right. Okay, let's do Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy.
With AJ and David?
Yeah. Shh. Let the music play. All right.
Oh wow!
Wait, before.
So many memories are flooding back to me right now. This is fun.
Yeah, I need to put that up because I just started playing Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain. We have a picture. This is great for our audio podcast.
Well, you can put it up on Twitter along with the announcement.
I still have to play. Heavy Rain, actually. I kind of feel bad. Everyone's talking about it. But let's save that right now. Let's talk about Final Fantasy.
Okay.
All right, AJ, how much have you played? I want to go last.
Like I said, I'm about 3 hours in. Without trying to spoil anything, let's see. How can I describe it? I fought kind of the first boss and then went a little bit past that.
I know you have paradigm shifts.
And then I crossed a big bridge.
If you have paradigm, you're not much further than first getting paradigm shifts, right?
Not too far beyond that.
Did you? You didn't do the first Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
no,
what do you think?
Eidolon or whatever they are.
Well, I always thought it was Eidolon, but then someone said they said like Eidolon, and
of course,
blew my mind.
Whatever.
So far, let's see. As I went into it knowing it was going to start slow, and it's not even so much that it starts slow from a story perspective.
Yeah, I like that it actually cuts out the crap and just throws you into the middle of things.
Right.
Yeah, but that is one problem I had, is I had no idea what the fuck was going on for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what's a foul sea and who are these people and why are
Did you consult your trusty database?
Well, once I finally did that, when someone told me to do it, I was like, oh, like, okay, like, this is like a spoiler of the first half hour, I guess.
Oh, don't worry about those.
Okay, so apparently the young boy, Hope, is very angry at Snow. I didn't know that until I read that.
How did you not know that?
His reaction to seeing Snow was like he was like nervous to talk to him, as one might like nervously approach George Lucas.
Didn't you see? Wait, how are you confused? It's not
there was
like
no anger. There was no anger in his tone. It sounded like he wanted to go up to him and say like, I don't know, like,
can I have your autograph?
Yeah, like that's like the sense I was getting from it. Like I was like, oh wait, he's mad?
No, I picked up on it a little bit better, but I can understand misinterpreting it.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, so there's that and whatever. But the thing that made it slow is just that at the beginning of the game, like within the first 2 hours, your combat options are super limited.
Oh, and also they don't give you any XP, so you don't... Like, I just dodged all those guys after the first one.
Yeah, so like you're just spamming auto attack, and I was like, wow, this better get more complicated, because this is really boring.
It's a little tutorial-ish.
But wait, what RPG isn't like that, though?
That's what I mean. I'm gonna get to a point when I'm done giving
Final
my
Fantasy
impression.
Stuff. Is your point basically that
that's true too.
That it's like JRPGs, but okay, go ahead, keep going.
Okay, but yeah, I mean things do pick up and quite well. Like once I got into paradigm shifts and I got my magic and everything, I was like, okay, I'm digging this. I actually like this. Switching the paradigms is cool. One thing I wish is that in addition to just paradigm sets, I wish you could just adjust one person's spec or whatever it's called. Like
that would get pretty complicated pretty quick.
Yeah, but I don't see why I still can't have that option.
Well, you know you can make as like up to 6 combinations, right?
Yeah. Once I figured that out, I like went in and made every combination I possibly could for the party.
See, I kind of like it the way it's almost like Dex, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I actually really do like that system. It remains to be seen how it'll hold up over 40 hours, but so far I think it's cool.
It just gets progressively better, but the thing I do like about it is that they keep on adding to it, and they just keep on adding good things as opposed to just completely overwhelming you with all this complicated bullshit, which
it's
happens with
good,
a lot of RPGs. A lot of RPGs that try to be incredibly complex just end up losing you in this sea of numbers and bullshit.
Right. One thing I gotta say, though, for a game that was in development for, 6 years, it doesn't feel like it has that kind of level of polish to it in a lot of places.
I'm gonna disagree.
I don't know. It's just like it's little things. Admittedly, it is little things, but things that I would have expected to be otherwise. Especially, I'm gonna make this comparison a lot, and I hate to keep doing it. But when I play something like Mass Effect 2,
God,
that was made 2 years and looks really good, like just little things. Like first of all, I know this is small. I'm gonna keep reading this. The hand models are terrible. Their hands are
okay. Their hands are a little squarey.
Okay, shit like that. Just even things like there's a cutscene early on where like the kids go after Snow and they crash the little flying thing they're on into the Falsi chamber or whatever. It wasn't animated. It was a black screen and I heard some crashing noises and like oh, are you okay? And then like the lights come up. I'm like, seriously? In 6 years they couldn't just show that?
I don't even
like
remember that.
Why did that happen? I don't know, just little things like that keep striking me.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I think it's also I think that might have more to do with just anime tropes. Because they're probably following a lot of those.
Also, Vanille, I don't think I hate her as much as the rest of the internet. I just wish that she'd slow down, enunciate, and pick an accent.
She's
got 4 of them.
Well, the thing is that she is actually an Australian. You know, trying to do that kind of squeaky Japanese girl voice, which annoys the hell right out of me.
Yeah,
but
why can't they just have her talk like normal? And
well,
I've been told that she's 19.
Yeah, she's...
okay.
Yeah, she looks like JLB to me. Anyway, it becomes clear why her accent is shifting a little bit later.
Good.
But
I literally can't understand her sometimes.
Yeah, she's
have that problem. I understand. Well, yeah, she's definitely of all the characters, she's definitely the one who's in the most danger of falling into super RPG stereotype.
Yeah,
yippee, happy then, girl.
She's annoying, and Hope is just, he's, again, one of those Japanese stereotypes of the kid who never says anything. Just, like, that voice actor's really good at going, oh.
Right. Well, those characters always have that arc where they find their confidence, so, you know.
Well, you know what it is? And Hope, honestly, what it is, well, is Japanese RPG writers who, in the 16-bit days, wrote a lot of ellipses and continue writing it, even though somehow someone has to verbalize that.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
But what about the other characters?
The other characters I like, I actually like Snow very much. Lightning, I mean, she's like kind of like a stone cold bitch at this point. I imagine she'll open up.
That about her, though.
Yeah, I really like her, especially. Did you see her punch Snow yet? Because when when he starts getting overly enthusiastic about things, she'll just punch him, and that solidified her as my favorite character.
And then I like Zaz, and I kind of figured I would, but he's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I like Zaz's pet Chocobo.
Yeah, it's very charming.
Named Chocobo.
Right.
Although did you see his son? Looks like
no,
a garbage
you're going
pail.
Way too far. Oh, slow down. Okay. Slow down. Sorry. Slow down.
Okay.
Whoa. Hey.
Spoiler.
I didn't know that.
Spoiler.
It's not that big a
No, I don't want to know no spoilers now.
I'm not going to say anything story related. I'm just going to say he has a kid, as all black people in JRPGs do, and they're always responsible fathers. So, but
it's true.
Yeah. So take that. Anyway.
What else I like about him is he's 30, so of course he's always referred to as the old man.
Yeah, of course. That qualifies you for a wheelchair in Japan.
Oh, don't totally.
Yeah.
How
old
is Snow's
girlfriend, looks like a garbage
by the way?
According to the internet, 18.
Okay.
But I'm saying 14. 14.
Yeah, she literally looks 14. It's just the height, not there at all.
Yeah,
not a little. No. That's a little weird. But Dave, more general impressions from you.
I do think that going a little bit further into it, I just got past. All right, you know what? Screw it.
What hour mark are you at?
This is not a spoiler. Odin. I just got past Odin,
okay.
And I do think that the learning curve could be steeper. I kind of wish it was, because it's more like a 10-degree ramp at this point.
Mm.
But, I don't know, it is one of the few games that justifies a kind of slow learning curve, because its battle system is actually pretty damn complex. And from what I can tell, they keep on throwing more and more stuff at you up until chapter, I think, 11 or something.
I think they can pull off that slow learning curve, too, because there isn't that much fat in between. This, you know, it's not like, oh, you're going to have to stop for an hour here and be in this town for a while. You're constantly going.
Yeah, and I do like that. I don't like wasting time, especially in a lot of the post-FF9 and even before FF9, FF7 and 8 and even 6, 5 had just towns that I didn't really care about.
Yeah, you didn't address the linearity thing. How do you feel about that so far?
Yeah, I mean, it is linear, and I don't mean linear like there's only one way to go. I mean, it's linear like the levels are a line.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, it's one of those things I just kind of mentally prepped myself for when I started hearing reviews of the game out of Japan, so I'm dealing with it.
Well, you're saying you're dealing with, like,
I think it would have
does that mean
also
you don't
been...
like it, though?
I guess
so
I
you
really
think if you didn't know,
like,
if you did, if you didn't know about it, would you have been angered by it?
I think I would have noticed it, but I wouldn't really have cared. Because quite frankly, when you think about it, I mean, I guess I'm going to argue for it. Like, who really liked wandering about in a maze of a dungeon in Final Fantasy VI hitting a bunch of random encounters and, like, being lost in there for
right.
an hour?
Like, here's what you're missing. You know how in other Final Fantasies or other RPGs, you can go into a house that doesn't really have anything in it, except for maybe, like, a treasure chest with a potion? There's nothing like that in this, I guess. You don't, you know, there's no card game to play.
Yeah. No triple triad.
Yeah.
No, get over it. That's what the internet's for. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mike?
I kind of love it.
I figured.
I kind of really like it. I'm kind of actually surprised how much I do like it.
I am too. I just, you know, I don't like
maybe less than an extreme. The other thing I would like to say is that they probably should not have included a map because it's goddamn useless and also really highlights that linearity.
Yeah. But I'm just about 15 hours into it. And wow. The story keeps picking up and
way to poop sock.
Yeah, I know. The battle system just did keep adding layers. So like I'm finally at the point like, you know, not too long ago at that point where like they kind of finally allow you to do three party members again. And then it just like really opens up and I don't know. And I think the game is gorgeous. I don't buy that this game doesn't look polished, AJ. I'm sorry. I don't buy that at all. It's a gorgeous looking game. Awesome.
It's probably the best looking console game I've seen.
I don't know if I'd put it above like Metal Gear Solid 4 or maybe, you know, maybe not me. Yeah, probably not Mass Effect 2, but it's up there. It's in the upper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's better.
I just honestly, for some reason in my head, I thought it would look better.
It looks as good as I would have thought.
Me wanting much, but I don't know.
The soundtrack's really good. It's, you know, it doesn't sound like a Final Fantasy soundtrack very much.
Yeah, there's no da 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 da.
No, well, not even just so much in the tunes, but just it sounds like a Tales of soundtrack. Or
actually, it's nobody's actually played these damn games, but it sounds like a Saga soundtrack.
It does. I did play one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a Saga soundtrack, and that's because Hamazu, I can't remember his first name, the guy who composed all those games, he's doing this. And he's a really talented, he also did a bunch of work on FF10, like anything that wasn't Butt Rock in FF10 was generally Hamazu. So, it's kind of hard to, nobody really knows who he is because, I mean, how would Saga. You know this guy if his very best work was in a game that I would call the worst RPG I've ever played in my life? That being Unlimited Saga.
Battle theme. How good is that, though?
Oh, yeah. And I love that song. I like that the battle theme's actually a variation on Lightning's theme song.
Right, yeah. I like that first when you kind of hear Lightning's theme, and it's like, oh, it's a slower version of the battle theme.
Mm-hmm. That went right over my head.
Right. Well,
I don't pay attention for that.
It goes back
to that whole. It goes back to that whole Final Fantasy is very opera-ish.
Yeah.
See, I'm still picking up, AJ. You seem to be noticing these negative details almost as if you were looking out for them.
I think. See, that's the thing. I think I might have been. I'll admit to that. Like I said, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I've been playing it instead of Mass Effect 2 this week, so.
That's bizarre. You haven't beaten Mass Effect 2 yet. Beat Mass Effect 2 before you do this. Don't let.
Yeah. I know,
don't
I
think
like
of
I
this as.
Ma-
yeah. Don't. This isn't Mass Effect. No, I'm not saying because it's worse than Mass Effect 2, but it's definitely different.
Yeah. Well, this weekend I'm very happy. I have nothing to do this weekend. For, like the first time in 3 months.
I've got spring break coming up, so I can just play all these games to my heart's content. Although, unfortunately, they delayed Strange Journey out of spring break, so.
Here's like my one final thing I'll say about this game. I've like decided myself, if I don't like this game, a JRPG made by the top tier developer in the genre, the top tier franchise in the genre, and a game that took them 6 years to make, if I don't like this game, I think I'm just done with JRPGs. Like, I think this is it for me if I don't like this.
I'm sick of everyone trying to bury that genre.
I'm just saying, I have not beaten a JRPG since Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga. And I've played a bunch, and I've thought they were okay, but they've never held my interest longer than 8 hours, which in a 40-hour-plus genre is a problem. If I can't finish this game, I think I'm just done with them.
I don't know. I've been having a lot of fun.
That's good. And story, that's fine. Like I said, I understand why people like these. I just think that they may not be for me. I'll see.
But a 50 or a 60 even? What is up with that?
No.
You know what I mean, scores.
Yeah. I thought you meant me. I was like, I didn't
Not
say
you,
that.
But no, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But I think that a bunch seems, of people are just going crazy.
It just seems bizarre. Yeah, I don't... But like I said, I'm actually a pretty big fan right now. I'm having a lot of fun. Story's been pretty good too, really.
I'm surprised at just how much I like the characters. Right. Like, the story itself... Or the plot, specifically,
it's a similar thing, you know. It's very
Final
Fantasy. Not,
no, it's very well. Specifically, it's very Kazushige Nojima, who wrote 7, 8, 10, and now 13.
It's very much more about the emotional high notes they hit with the characters. Those have been pulled off really well so far.
Scene that's a flashback, to be vague about it. It's like the first flashback. Fireworks played heavily into it. It worked for me. I was like, yeah, that actually feels somewhat genuine. I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just did this gorgeous cutscene. You guys know what like I
did. Oh, you know what else kind of really bothered me?
What?
And again, this is one of those little things again. The first cinematic plays on the train. And then instead of doing what they've been doing since Final Fantasy VII, where the cinematic just goes right into gameplay, there is black screen and now loading.
Okay, but what about the transition from the gameplay to the battle screen? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I did like that.
That was awesome.
Wait, which one?
The first time. The first time you went into battle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I was all ready for, like, the cool, like, I was like, oh, this is, like, totally a throwback to Final Fantasy VII, the train. It was like, black screen, now loading.
I'm not noticing all these things.
See, I did. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it could have been better in a few respects. Also, I really liked a callback to Final Fantasy VII, the very first boss you fight, is a scorpion, much like the biomechanical scorpion you fought as the first boss in FF7.
There are some neat references everywhere. One of the ships I've seen is called the Lindblum, which was the name of one of the towns of Final Fantasy IX. I saw that, and I was like, Lindblum, that sounds familiar. I had to Google it real quick.
Oh, Mike, yeah, here, you can answer this for me a bit. Did Falcee appear in another Final Fantasy game?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, my friend's an idiot then. Because we were talking about it once, and he's like, well, you know, it helps if you play the other ones. I go, no, it doesn't. They're all, like, completely independent.
Yeah, what is he talking about?
Yeah, he's like, no, it was like Falcee were in another one. I'm like, no, they weren't.
Yeah, I am pretty sure not. And if they were, they probably had nothing to do with these. Yeah, you can't argue with people like that. The last thing I want to say, you were kind of complaining I didn't know what's going on. I liked the way they intentionally withheld information from you so that you kind of figured things out as they went along. Like, you didn't know why Saz and Lightning were with each other. You didn't know why these people were
actually.
Being... Well, yeah, you don't for a while. I like that.
Oh, okay.
See, I think you're... Here's my problem with you. You're assuming these things are mistakes when they're actually intelligent and, in my opinion, well done. Like, well, why don't I know what's going on? Well, what the...
After 3 hours, I don't know.
Three hours is nothing.
I know.
That's your problem.
I don't have that mode of thought. I'm used to stories not taking that long.
I love a good eight-hour game as much as the next guy, but they don't all need to be like that. Not every game is to become Uncharted 2 all of a sudden.
I never said that. I don't know.
I think if you had your way, I know what you would do. Huh. I know what genres you would kill.
Wouldn't kill it. I would just improve it.
All right. Anybody else want to? Mm-hmm. David, you want a last word?
Trying to think of something profound.
I'll take your silence as a no.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something profound to say now.
You don't have to say anything profound. A simple, I like it, will work.
Yeah, it's pretty okay.
Okay, let's say that we have two sides of the spectrum here, the Mike side and the HS side. Which side are you on?
If the Mike side is like a 10, the HA is an 8, one, I'd say I'm probably like 7.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's move on. We'll talk about this more next week, I'm sure, when I have probably beaten it and AJ probably hasn't touched it again.
And then I'll come back in a couple weeks and talk about how Strange Journey is so much better. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm just kidding, guys. It's not comparable.
Okay. Did anybody else play anything? What else came out? I can't remember.
Real quick, I in my attempt now to rectify some... far overdone wrongs, I'm trying to finish Tales of Monkey Island, which I never did.
Shame on you.
I'm just about done with episode 3, and then after we're done, I need to ask you for help on a puzzle because I'm stuck.
Episode 3 might be the best one.
Yeah, all I'll say is a highlight of the series for me now is after you stick Murray's head on that skeleton, and you're like, hello, Santino. Aloha.
Aloha.
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
So yeah. That's what I got there. But I'm playing it on Mac. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
You're gaming on Mac.
I know. It's like native. It's bizarre. Playing it with my magic mouse.
How about you, David? What have you been playing?
Well, I briefly mentioned it earlier. I'm playing Final Fantasy VII on PSP because I vowed to myself that I would actually replay it finally and not just stop right after I got out of Midgar.
It's like everyone does.
Yeah, it's a bizarre, strange game to play now, especially right next to Final Fantasy XIII.
Right. But I played it for, not the first time, but I played it, my first time I played through it was just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're at. It's just a funky game to go back to just because everything looks strange and all the camera angles are really weird and just the entire thing, the translation sucks ass. It's also strange to go back to now that I'm more design conscious than I was when I was like 13 and played through it the first time. And so I'm noticing like all the dungeons are like 6 screens long and aren't that complex. I'm noticing that actually the towns aren't so bad. Say they're maybe a step up from FF6.
Well, nice thing about the towns of Final Fantasy VII was that the scope was always kind of so big, even though, like, really you were kind of in a small part of the town, like, you know, especially the big part. Right. The best part of that game still was maybe, like, the first 5 hours. Kind of once your group leaves Midgar, it kind of never
it
quite...
It loses that a bit. Although, I will say,
focus.
It gets close in places like the mining town just below the Golden Saucer and a couple other little highlights like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I still like Final Fantasy VII very much. I'm not on board the hater train on that one.
Well, and then the other thing is noticing that every character is identical. It's like I did not notice that when I was 13, but I don't. It just like I realized that there's no real reason to try and strategically build a party. I basically got it now that I'm on the second disc. By the end of the first disc, I had it so I could basically just put the PSP down as soon as I got in the battle. Go up, make a sandwich, get a soda, and come back, and I'd have won already. Because you can just set up the materia, so it's just so busted.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Interesting to go back to, at the very least.
So, have you and been playing Heavy Rain? I don't think we've ever actually had anyone on this show talk about Heavy Rain very much.
No, well Joey talked about it a bit last week you guys had him on?
Yeah, he did a little bit. Did he?
I did listen to that show, by the way.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I need to teach you about sound leveling, though.
Oh, shut up. You'll like it. I wonder, did anything else come out this... I mean, I can't imagine I played anything besides Final Fantasy 13. Can't remember what I was doing before that. Mega Man 10, you know, yeah. Been fun.
I forgot about one other game that I played. What was it called? It's never released out in America. Laplace Le Diable, I believe. It's either that or Diable Le Laplace.
Sounds compelling.
Yeah, it's actually kind of like... I told you about Sweet Home whenever we were trying to do that Obscura game segment that someday we might try to revive. But it's like a survival horror RPG with a very Cthulhu vibe. Not a whole lot of story, but you play as a detective investigating this house where a bunch of murders have gone on. And basically, it's, you know, it's just really simple, interesting game from 1995. I don't know, it's just kind of an interesting footnote in history to see this Lovecraftian-style haunted mansion game. It's kind of like a cross between Final Fantasy and Eternal Darkness. Well, it's more like a cross between Dragon Warrior and Eternal Darkness, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we good then? We ready for releases?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think so. All right, to download, we have on WiiWare, Max and the Magic Marker, and Dracula Undead Awakening. DSiWare has Elemental Masters, Four Travelers, Dash, Play Spanish, and also Dracula Undead Awakening. And the Virtual Console is Final Fantasy II, which is actually Final Fantasy IV.
The dumbed-down American version with the terrible translation.
Right. That's the one.
Done by two Japanese guys with a 1950s English dictionary.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for them. Well, in that case, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, I know. They speak more English than I do. Or more Japanese. They speak more of two languages than I do.
Right. Yes. I never liked Final Fantasy IV as much as everyone else.
Yeah, I know. You always say that. Like, I could, 2 weeks from now, I'm just going to mention Final Fantasy IV and you'll say that.
I need to bring it up. I still don't get the fascination with it. Well, I've been sounding like such a Final Fantasy fanboy this episode. I wanted to be known if there's something I disagree with the masses on. I do not like 4. But I'm not a fanboy. I know quality when I see it, damn it. I'm not crazy. What are you laughing for?
Good. Nothing at all. Xbox.
It has good music.
Games on Demand has the first Condemned, which is kind of strange. And Xbox Live Arcade got the game Scrap Metal. PS3 got Mega Man 10 and Feeding Frenzy 2. The PSP has the Eye of Judgment Legends and Rock Band Unplugged Lite, which is a $10 version of Rock Band with fewer tracks, and you're supposed to download all the rest.
Nice.
PlayStation Minis has Rocket Racing. Then Good Old Games has Return to Krondor, Aquanox, which is kind of like Descent, but in the ocean, and Gabriel Knight 3, Blood of the Sacred, Blood of the Damned, meaning that Good Old Games now has all three Gabriel Knight games. Beige is shouting at the top of his lungs.
No, I don't think he's shouting for Gabriel Knight 3.
No one likes Gabriel Knight 3, AJ.
Well, yeah, which most people credit for killing the genre, even though it's...
Squad cast.
You two both talk. Stop talking at the same time, you two.
Okay. But, yeah, I don't know if anybody looks back fondly on it, especially after that Old Man Murray article, which is really awesome.
Is Gabriel Knight 3 like... I always kind of imagine it's like that King's Quest Max of Eternity.
Well, no, here's the problem. It was kind of like one of the first 3D point-click adventure games.
So as ugly as all sin.
Really that good. Yeah, like of the three games in the series, it's the ugliest.
Isn't that the irony of those early 3D games?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like low-poly games.
Like Final Fantasy? Well, you're just saying Final Fantasy 7 looks weird. I kind of like Final Fantasy 7's look.
I like Final Fantasy 8's look better. Final Fantasy 7, what it has is, its problem is just crap loads of polygon quipping and also the fact that the camera's pulled out really, really far so you can't tell what any of the characters are supposed to be doing.
And everyone's hands look like big rectangles.
Yeah, and also
I like all that
arms.
Kind of.
Well, the problem is that, or the other problem being that it's just really inconsistent. Like, sometimes you'll have FMV with the Popeye-armed people, and sometimes you'll have FMV with, like, fully proportioned people. Then you have the battle characters who are fully proportioned but angular. And then the Popeye arm people for exploration and There are like 23 goddamn models in that game.
Right. Alright, we ready for the real releases?
Yeah, sure.
Alright, Final Fantasy 13 came out on PS3 and 360.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling before this is all done, AJ, our overall discussion on Final Fantasy 13, I have a feeling I'm going to end up killing you. I can already tell where this is going.
Good to know.
I think you'll end up liking it better because I
feel like
you
should.
Because
it only
I feel like I may.
It only picks up, but I just have a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling about AJ's future as you know being alive.
Great.
There are some facepalm worthy lines though.
Well, sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
anyway.
it was still made in Japan.
Well, yeah, and also they had to. The English localizers probably did their best with it, but they still had to match lip flaps and animations.
The lip syncing looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
Anyways,
let's... Okay, enough Final Fantasy
Let's stop here.
People
are
sick of it.
Assassin's Creed 2 came out on the PC. Now, this is interesting. GameSpot gave it an 8, right? Now, why an 8 and not... I think the other version is probably 9-something, let's assume.
The DRM?
The DRM and the high price... I don't know. I kind of have a problem when you review a game, you kind of talk about things besides the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's that whole argument. Is it a consumer product review, or is it like about the art, I guess, you know?
Although I guess this is like, it's continuing that trend set by Modern Warfare 2 now, $60 PC games, where they traditionally remained at 50.
Is that their problem? See, I don't get that. How can you say that the high price point is a problem for this game when it costs as much on the other ones?
Because it's not the norm for that platform.
But, I don't buy that. Okay, whatever. DRM, I can understand they're upset about. Alright. Rise of Persia for PC.
Prussia. No, Prussia.
Prussia is very different from Persia.
I'm joking. I know, I'm sorry. Thank you. Moving on, Yakuza 3.
Oh, yeah.
PS3.
Yeah. Lost in the sea of Final Fantasy 13 news. I forgot entirely that it
boy,
existed.
I'll tell you what, for that game, they couldn't have picked the worst time to release
it. Yeah, honestly.
Why did
that
come out
sandwiched
in June?
Right between God of War 3 and Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah. And then, you know, and Sega's going to, like cry. Be like, see, it didn't sell well. You guys made us port it, and it was a bad idea. Like, no, you guys are just that stupid.
You're dumb. dumb.
Modern Warhammer 40K.
Modern
Warhammer.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, I think you should be a game designer, Mike. I think you just unintentionally stumbled on gold.
I didn't even realize. Like, what are you guys talking about?
The first-person shooter set in the Warhammer 40K.
That was
I'm shocked there haven't been more.
Warhammer 40K, Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising came out for the PC. I'm assuming it's an expansion pack.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those standalone.
They're all standalone now. They're either standalone or DLC. Order of War Challenge for the PC looks compelling. Resident Evil 5, the Gold Edition for PS3 and 360. There's that. Blaze Blue, Calamity Trigger Portable for the PSP. That's kind of interesting. I wonder what that's like. I like Blaze Blue. Or Blast
Blue.
Yeah,
a guy I know who plays the who played the Japanese version said it was alright. So.
Supreme Commander 2 came out for the PC. Calling came out for the Wii.
That's the 360 version, Mike.
I'm sorry. 360.
No, either way. It's strange seeing Square Enix's name branded all over them.
Yeah.
So
bizarre.
Then we have Spectral Forces Genesis for the DS. Alright, that's it. Alright. I guess we're done here.
Alright.
Hey, I was on the Pixel Revolt podcast on Bitmob this week, so go check that out.
Yeah, I just finished listening to it today.
How did I do?
Pretty well.
Why, only pretty well?
No.
You said minute 23.
You were fine.
I don't know. I think I did a bad job, apparently.
No.
Yeah, alright. No, I was great. Anyways.
You were great.
I'm awesome.
I also need to throw out a quick plug. Actually, as of today, we finished the documentary I've been working on, The Alt Project Presents 7 Days and 17 Hours, Chasing History Along the Pony Express Trail. It's up for pre-order on our website, and we'll be shipping them probably in a week. So if you guys want to go to www.jma.tq.edu/alt, check it out. I would much appreciate it.
All right. All right, hey, David, do you have anything you want to pimp while we're all pimping?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, you should all go buy Shin Megami Tensei's Strange Journey when it comes out on March 23rd. That's not even mine, but I feel like I need to...
personal vested interest.
Yeah, I need to join on the pimp bandwagon. So, yeah, you should go buy that.
All right. So, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronshame.com, and you can follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yeah.